Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio, hosted by Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. Join Jo over the next hour as she shares stories and conversations that are both inspiring and empowering. Having spent over 30 years in the corporate sector, Jo Sainsbury kicked off her heels and became a coal train driver working in the rail and mining industry. It has been her goal ever since to empower and support women who are considering a career change into an industry role, making the transition as smooth as possible. Jo is a walking, talking success story of how taking the plunge into industry can open up a world of opportunity. And you can do it too. If you're a woman working in industry or considering a career change, this is the radio station for you. Let's get into this episode of Kick-Ass Radio.
Good morning, Australia, and good evening, America. You are listening to Kick-Ass Radio with Jo Sainsbury, and I'm Tony Lontis, and I'm helping introduce Jo on her very first live show. So just a little bit about the glorious Jo. She has over 30 years experience in admin, HR, and project management within the heavy equipment and earth-moving industry, and she's now clocked up 7 years experience as a coal train driver and has recently become a published author and influencer within the rail, mining, resources, STEM, and construction industries. She's passionate about encouraging women of all ages to unleash the full force of their potential, achieve greater levels of self-sufficiency and fulfillment, and create a more sustainable way of working, in particular within the non-traditional roles in these industries. She's all about finding an appreciation of the world of possibilities that await you when you're prepared to throw aside your self-imposed limitations. Everyone is capable of doing the job. What are you waiting for? Go get your glow on. And without further ado, here is the glorious Jo Sainsbury. Good morning, Jo.
Good morning, Tony. Good morning, Australia. And good afternoon to the great US. It's really exciting to be here. And I'm going to be a little bit hesitant here and there because, as we said, it is my first show and I'm learning the ropes. So I'm a newbie here. And looking forward to it, though. We're going to be sharing some unreal info and insights into women working in non-traditional roles in all aspects of industry. So without further ado, I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself, and we'll get on to what the Kick-Ass Radio show is going to be all about in the future. So, yes, it's all about me today, sorry.
And so it should be. It's been quite a journey for Jo to get to this point, and I'm so proud of her and very privileged to be sharing the first show with her. So over to you, Jo.
So I'll kickstart with, have you ever wanted to try something completely different but was too scared to take the plunge? Ever thought a job advert sounded so interesting but clicked straight past because it was in a completely different field and you thought, what's the point of even trying? It's a great time to be a female, a glow-getter in the rail, mining, resources, STEM and construction industries. Even for young women wanting to enter these industries, there's no time like today to start building your own networks and having people to run ideas by and connect with. It is said, and I do believe, that everything starts with a kick-ass attitude that women and girls have within them, where they are eager to progress both at a personal and professional level. Hey, I am the glow getter and founder of Kick-Ass Women. I believe more women should consider non-traditional roles and careers, and so I've made it my mission to empower, support and encourage women of all ages to consider a career or career change into an industry role. And my endeavour is to make that transition for you as smooth as possible. I kicked off my heels and become a coal train driver. Yes, you heard that right. I am a coal train driver, working in the rail and mining industry. And I've been driving coal trains for the past 7 years now, and I can honestly and genuinely say I love my job. Now, I'm known to get my glow on, donning my hard hat and high viz, and tripping around the rail corridor and mine sites wearing my coal face, coal-covered boots, but all the while sporting my perfect manicure. I'm a change maker. I'm also impulsive, easily entertained, and absolutely unapologetic about the fact that if I need to make a stand on an issue I feel passionately about, I will do so, even if that means rocking the boat now and again, making waves. Now, my passion is to support and reinforce confidence in other women and guide them to greater advancement and achievement within their careers. And my hope is to inspire, encourage, and stimulate the women to step out of their comfort zones and find their kick-ass attitude within themselves, which will lead them to greater self-sufficiency and success in working in a non-traditional role. Hey, I love all kinds of sports, and I'm a mad keen footy and staunch Sydney City Roosters fan in Australia here. I love the fast pace of the V8 supercars, and of course, the Red Bull Holden racing team being my favourite rev heads. I thrive on being entrapped in fictional and non-fictional world of literature, and mostly love my varied genres of music, and they must be loud. I love rocking out carpool karaoke as an all-time favourite on my way to and from work, or any time really. Yes, I'm one of those who believe she is truly a rock star, but my family and friends would dare to say otherwise. As for me, I'm all about kick-ass, and a strong, sassy woman I am, and I'm just a woman who decided to go for it. I'm an ongoing project and work in progress, but hey, I'm allowed to be both a work in progress and help others grow at the same time. I'm one who still has a healthy appetite for continual self and professional development. However, the more women whose words you and I can relate to, the less alone we'll feel and the more empowered we become. So I'm here to let you know it's all about getting mighty clear about what makes you happy and what makes you feel the most alive, and then creating it instead of pretending you can't have it or that you don't deserve it. Hey, well, I don't pretend to be a HR guru. I have had my fair share of career experience and knowledge within the HR and have become pretty savvy at mastering the basic elements you must include if you want your application to get a look in and stand out amongst the sea of steel cap hopefuls. Let me give you a little insight and guide you on how to kickstart your journey, and let's see which destination it may lead you to. Everyone is capable of doing the job.
And Jody is a living example of everyone being able to do the job. And I love the story about how you decided to be a coal train driver. And I know that it was a surprise to you about how much you loved the job, Jo. So how did you get to be a coal train driver?
So first and foremost, I am a glow-getter, Tony. And you will forever hear me say, go on, get your glow on, or become a glow-getter. Now, everyone's asking, what is a glow-getter? A glow-getter is a kick-ass, strong, ambitious woman donning her hard hat and high biz in a non-traditional role in varied industries. She is driven by her authenticity, resilience, adaptability, confidence, and owning who she is without apology. She is too positive to be doubtful, too optimistic to be fearful, and too determined to be defeated. She drives to strive for progress, not perfection, and it is her hope that her glow reflects herself inside and out and makes her the kind of person others want to be around and take their lead from, as you never know what bright glow you might spark in others. More so, the glow I refer to in saying get your glow on is in reference to the reflective tape required on all high-vis workwear, which is a safety requirement in all of these industries I'm advocating for. So I work in the rail and mining industry, and I am a coal train driver. I drive trains for a global resources company, delivering coal from a number of coal mines within the Bowen Basin of central Queensland here in Australia, and they go back to the coal terminal. From there, it's transferred to ships for transport to customers around the world. Now, I leapt at the offer to step out of my square and hit the track running, so to speak, with the opportunity of being appointed as one of the first rail trainee drivers for this particular resource company back in 2013. Now, the next question you're asking is, what does a coal train driver do? Well, I drive a coal train, which is just over 2 kilometres, or approximately 1.25 miles, for those of you in the US, long in length. It weighs approximately about 113,500 tonnes, fully loaded, and it's powered by 3 25 kV electric-powered locomotives, and we trail 126 coal wagons behind, travelling up to a maximum speed of 80 kilometres per hour. So I haul ass. Now, when we talk about electric locomotives and being 25 kV, which some people mightn't understand, that refers to the power generated in the railway electrification system. using alternating current, which is the AC, the 25 kilovolts. And it's used worldwide, especially for high-speed rail. The power is supplied to the moving trains with a nearly continuous conductor running along the track. And that usually takes one or two forms. So the overhead line you usually see in our train consists, getting around Australia, suspended from the poles or towers along the track or from a structure in tunnels or ceilings. The overhead wire in the system uses the running rails as the return conductor. Now, the particular locos that I drive utilise dynamic braking, which is the use of electric traction motor as a generator. So when slowing a locomotive, it's termed rheostatic. So if the generated electrical power is dissipated as heat in the brake grid resistors and regenerative if the power is returned to the supply line. So dynamic braking reduces wear on friction-based braking components, and regeneration lowers net energy consumption. So we're hoping that's a good thing for the climate. So in my role of a coal train driver, I am a member of a two-person crew. I'm responsible for operating and driving the train and applying safe and responsible train handling management. Our train consists measured just over the 2 kilometres as a head and length. And it is a pretty big responsibility to maintain your train handling and management. And that's one of the biggest parts of the responsibility of your job. And at my workplace, we work on an even time roster of 4 days on and 4 days off and 12-hour shifts. And our shifts are governed by the train scheduling path. So that is when the trains have been booked to go to site to load, that's the product, whatever particular product, coal product's in demand at the time. So in effect, we can start our shifts at varying times around the 24-hour clock. So I can start work at 1 a.m, 9 a.m, 8 p.m, 12 noon, 3 p.m, depending on whatever pathing has been booked for the service. So we work in a two-person crew scenario wherein we share the driving responsibilities. So each shift one driver is designated as the train driver for the day and the other performs the duty of the driver's assistant. And then the roles reverse on our following shift. In regards to train driving, we're governed by network regulations and rules. So similar to when you're driving your car out on the road, you have to obey by the road rules. Therefore, we have to obey and comply to our network rules. So we have speed limits, speed restrictions, track works, rail traffic delays, safety requirements, just to name a few. And the most important and crucial to my job is obeying the signalling system. Now, I love getting on a coal train in the middle of the night. The night sky is overwhelmingly breathtaking and inspirational. The night sky is exciting to explore what your eyes can create with the stars. It's a truly magical effect. The perfect night sky for me is when the sky looks like it's covered by a dome and the stars appear to be closer. The darker the sky, the clearer the stars appear. It's truly impossible to look beyond the captivating stars. And I would say with along the lines of that, the most enjoyment I get from my job is having the best view from our office window. The changing seasonal surroundings and scenery are beautiful. You do get to see some spectacular sunrises and sunsets, nature and native wildlife at their best and worst. Now, with train driving, at first I found the long and regular hours of work challenging. Being a train driver involves erratic working patterns, and there are early starts and late finishes. So you do make sacrifices. And if it means you go to bed at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, you do just that. The terminology was another minor challenge. It's the opposite of what you might expect. So in railway terminology, down means we travel away from the mine site and up means we're traveling away from the port. One of the other biggest challenges is that a huge part of the driver's job is knowing everything about the route they're driving. The sections, speed limits, speed restrictions, track works, track, rail traffic delays, and safety requirements and signals to the gradients and some slight bumps in the track. The most important and crucial, though, as I said before, is obeying the signalling system. It's very much like memorising a routine. On any given shift, it's high stakes and there's no room for error. You have to approach your train handling management in accordance with the signalling rules and regulations using the braking techniques that you learn throughout your training. A variety of things can go wrong in train driving, but there's an incredible feeling of empowerment knowing I can handle it myself. Now that's pretty cool. And the best part to my typical work day now starts drama-free from having to decide what outfit to wear to work. My uniform is made up of a high-vis shirt, jeans and work boots, which suits me just fine. So I'm dressed in 10 minutes, my hair tied back in a ponytail And the only application on my face nowadays is sunscreen, no makeup. I'm ready to hit the track running, so to speak. I'm not a corporate type anymore, so it suits me to come to work in my jeans every day and without makeup. Yet I do love to indulge in those girly things outside of work when the opportunity arises, and that is getting dressed up, wearing heels, and painting by numbers with the makeup. So when I found myself this job, it was a dream come true, but I become terrified of failure. When you start in your career, it is tempting to look around at your colleagues and let your lack of self-confidence take over. You must build your own self-confidence. Take little steps out of your comfort zone and do things that challenge and scare you. I remained true to myself and put my fears aside. It was the right thing to do because the reaction was overwhelmingly positive. Since then, I have successfully attained my nationally recognised qualification as a train driver, which is now a big part of my life that puts that special spring in my step.
So, Joe, what sort of things...
into a male-dominated industry was no easy task. For me, it wasn't an easy ride. I had rather a big oh-shit moment and run off the rails, so to speak, just over 10 years ago, which changed the trajectory of my life and thus career drastically. Yes, of course, bad things do happen to all of us. We all face all sorts of adversity in the course of our lifetime, and it is important to consider that everything that has happened to you had purpose. And this, I must say, turned out for the better for me. I found myself unemployed for a period of time and having to rewire my self-confidence, self-worth, relaunch my career, regain credibility, and begin contributing back into my family and household again. After working predominantly in the corporate sector within admin, HR, workplace health and safety, and getting a project management experience, I decided to utilise the time I was having at home unemployed in upskilling and obtaining a diploma in project management. And I subsequently applied this competency to our family-based civil contracting business. So after a number of years, I found myself searching for something new, and I wanted to step away from the family business because I wanted to differentiate between family and work. So I started applying for anything and every kind of vacant job outside of the corporate sector. I was looking for something totally left of field to office work, and I was fortunate enough to come across the trainee train driver advertised position. Well, the next exercise in applying for that was pretty tough. I wrestled with my self-confidence and lack thereof skills for applying in this position, and I sat in front of the computer after completing the online application for about a half an hour before I got the guts to hit the submit button. And the rest, as they say, is history now. However, I'd like to say through all of the victories and all of the pain throughout our lives, you learn and you grow. And I believe that everything happens to you has meaning. Life lessons are the greatest and most valuable lessons. And I'm very grateful for where I am today. And that's what really matters. It's about the opportunities that stretch out in front of you. I saw firsthand the opportunities and possibilities that were out there. Women need to have more access to these types of jobs. And so began my journey of encouraging other women who want to join the rail, mining, resources, STEM and construction industries.
Yay! Hey, listen, what sort of things happen on your shifts? What's the worst that's happened on your train driving shifts?
It's not actually worse things that happen, Tony. Like, we have breakdowns, like your car can break down, so the train can break down and have fault. So we have to do fault finding and diagnostic and try and get the train back on track, so to speak, and moving again. We have our encounters with our wildlife, which is very unfortunate. You can't pull up the train to avoid not hitting a kangaroo, a koala, unfortunately, or any other wildlife, birds.
Cows. How long does it take to pull up a fully laden coal train?
So that's the surprising part, and which of the public need to be very aware of. Pulling up a fully loaded coal train or any train takes a considerable amount of distance and braking power. Yeah. So for our trains, it can take up to 800 metres to pull the train to a complete stop. So if you're considering on racing a train across a crossing, definitely suggest you have a second thought about it and do not do it.
Because not only are they a big, heavy steel structure moving full of coal, you just can't pull up quickly, and that's all there is to it.
Not as quick as what people assume you can. So no, yeah. it's not an easy practice. Although we do have dynamic breaking, which is instantaneous. Graduated breaking, but it is not instantaneous that it pulls us up straight away to a dead stop. It does take that distance to get the brakes through the whole train consist and applied and to pull the train to a stationary position.
And the electricity wires that run across the top of the train, is there inherent danger from them at any stage?
Sorry, can you say that again? I missed that.
The electricity lines for the train, is there a danger from those? Because they're pretty high kilowatt voltage.
Oh, definitely. Like you have a danger zone, which they state of 3 meters from those electrification lines. And no, you do not want to be anywhere near those electrification lines or attempt to touch them, because that is just an instantaneous fatality. Death. And immeasurable injury. And
do the electrical storms ever interfere with? They do.
Yeah, definitely. Like, so all our signalling is what they call remote control signalling. So they're all controlled by operators or network controllers in a main control room. So electrical storms do have impact. They knock the signalling out. And we are bound to, like, we're told to come to a stop and then pass signals. The network controller will issue us with safe working forms that allow us to pass those signals if they are not in working or operable manner.
Okay. That must happen a bit, because where you work is kind of a thunderstorm area, isn't it?
It is. We have our summer storms and our monsoonal weather, so we do we do get a fair amount of our adverse weather. But it's not too bad. The system is pretty used to that, and they do have their backup systems, and they have all their maintenance staff to get out on track and fix and repair whatever they can if need be.
Yeah. Joe, how long does it take to load a fully laden coal train?
So if we go out empty, heading out to the coal site, we can take anywhere from 3 hours up to eight and a half hours to get out to site, and that's dependent on what's happening out on track, out on the network. So there could be another train broken down that's holding up the track. There could be track works happening, so they've got the lines closed, so you're just sitting and waiting for them to reopen the track and deem that it's fit and safe for travel. And so a number of contributing factors can hold us up. And as I said, we could have what we call green light running, where we have green lights all the way through from out to site. And that's a good run. That is a good run.
Yeah.
But other days, as I said, we could have a red light at just about every section. So we're sitting and waiting, and that's a long day.
Yeah. And then once you get to port and start to unload, is that a quicker process, is unloading onto the boat, or is it just the same all over again?
No, so it's a slow process when we load and when we unload the train. It's worked on a train, a system they call the train speed indicator and low speed engaged in the locomotive. So we only load, we go through the train loadout on site at about anywhere from 0.5 up to 1 kilometre per hour. So it can take about 3 hours to load the train on site. It's probably about half to unload it. Up to 2 hours to unload it. It's the same process, very low speed, going in the train loadout and then over the dump station back at port unload the wagons.
And they've effectively just dumped the coal from the carriages straight into the container system in the boat, don't they?
So it gets the doors, ours are the bottom opening doors, so the coal drops into a pit. And it travels up conveyor belts, and it can either go to a stockpile, or it can be direct loaded onto a ship that's waiting at berth there.
And we've all seen those visions of the big conveyor belts that drop the coal off into those big black mountains of coal.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So, Jo, you just completed writing a book. Tell us about that.
Yes, I did. And how exciting is that? It's such an overwhelming feeling to have a book that you've written in your hot little hand. Now, because I saw firsthand the opportunities, and when we think about train drivers, truck drivers, plant operators, construction workers, engineers, electricians, plumbers, carpenters, and there's a myriad of other blue-collar workers, few of us immediately imagine women performing these roles. And so I had no contacts, no experience, and I barely knew anything about the industry or how to apply. Well, I get that many questions from other ladies asking, how did you get your job? And that was where I got the inspiration to think, I should write a book on this.
Yeah.
And so I actually, it first came about, I went to a book workshop on how to write a book. And then that idea come about was, yes, I will write a book on how to get into these industries. And I learned a lot going through the process too, because I hadn't gone through some of the HR exercises that they do and they ask of you nowadays. So it was a great learning experience for me. And I know a lot of other women aren't familiar with a lot of the HR interviewing processes or application processes nowadays. So I put my book together whilst I was on trains, while we were loading, slow loading. So it took about 18 months. Yeah. And I would write notes while I was in the DA side and write my book of notes and put the chapters together and send it off and my book come back. So my book's... it's a guide, and in the book you'll find out how to understand and build on your own current and innate strengths. You'll learn to take steps to identify your personal career goals, and you can best utilise my tips, tricks, tools and insights into getting that boot in the door. Plan, create and manage your own initiative to go after that role, and of course find your kick-ass attitude and version of success, whatever that looks like to you. And I hope by sharing my knowledge and career experience and understanding of the industry, I will be able to guide others, as I believe paying it forward pays back.
Fantastic. And you were telling me just the other night that you'd been to an event and that your books had sold like hotcakes.
They did. It was such a great opportunity. I was actually part of a panel on a forum talking about all things women in rail and encouraging women to consider a career in rail. So it was a great event and we had great engagement. And so my book got a great a mention there and some promotion and I thus had some great sales from it. So fantastic. If anyone is interested in purchasing my book, you can buy my book online through Amazon or through my website at www.kickasswomen.com.au.
And Jo's book is High Heels to High Viz by Jo Sainsbury. And it is her wonderful story with tips, tricks about women getting into non-traditional roles, which is your jam.
That it is.
And it leads me to what has...
Sorry?
It leads me to what has become your mission, Jo.
Yes, my mission. My mission is to, the flow on from the book is the primary focus and objective of my side hustle here, Kick-Ass Women. And I have a project in progress called Heels in Demand. And it's an initiative by way of providing a female work-ready training program aim to attract women to enter these industries and equip them with in-demand knowledge and skills to increase their employability in the future of work. Now, the program is a clear direction towards career pathway, and I believe with participation of industry partners, women with the work-ready skills could be placed into non-traditional roles and secured into full-time employment. And I do believe by delivering and developing skills, knowledge and confidence through a process for women 18 and over who have traditionally underestimated their own skills and abilities, who doubt their capabilities, they don't know where to start and may need support with a non-traditional role concept, and it's to enable them to gain hands-on skills and training. They won't learn everything about the aspects of these non-traditional roles, but they will learn what is current, topical and important, which will assist them to break into these industries. The program is aiming to provide a means for women to transition into a non-traditional role, build their confidence and get up to date on skill development, and or become skilled in new areas of work. And I believe no woman should shy away from an opportunity due to lack of self-belief, skill or fear of the unknown. And I also believe change begins with education about the role of women and the importance of staying connected is relevant and timely. We need to increase women's access to education and training. And we want women of all ages to have real opportunities to access the benefits and prospects in these non-traditional roles and industries. We want to reinforce the confidence of women to know that you can do this job and you can enjoy it and you can be passionate about it. Everyone is capable of doing the job. So you will forever hear me say, go on and get your glow on, become a glow-getter whenever the opportunity arrives. But to me personally, the most important reason to grow the number of women in non-traditional roles is so that the world we live in can be equally enjoyed by everyone. We need a diversity of experiences, perspectives and stories to build a world that is more empathetic, innovative and equal. So my mission is and the core purpose is to support the career success of women of all ages. And everything I am aiming to do will hopefully reflect that intent, Tony.
Absolutely. And so there's lots of advantages for women wanting to get into non-traditional roles, isn't there, Joe? And some of those include lifestyle, money, remuneration. Those things are increasingly important for women, and particularly women looking to do something a little bit different. And there's lots of roles that women can fulfill in the non-traditional area, isn't there, Joe?
That's exactly right. And like, as we said earlier, few of us immediately imagine women performing all these roles. And there is some unique challenges that are aggravated by working in fields where they are traditionally underrepresented and excluded. And skilled trades and working on large work sites are often uncomfortable, dirty, dangerous, outdoorsy, hands-on and overall non-girly. But there are many women who want to and do work in these non-traditional roles. And I believe that there's no stopping the opportunities, or there's unlimited possibilities out there. You can still work in admin on site. You can still work in hospitality on site. You can still work in healthcare on site. You can still work in IT. But if you want an operational role, you can get out on the field and on the surface and work to get you down and dirty, get your hands down and dirty.
Yes.
So there's lots of possibilities. It's not just driving a big dump truck or a grader or a dozer or a train. There's lots of other opportunities there within the industry sector to explore.
And these roles, for the most part, are pretty well paid, aren't they, Joe?
They are. They are very well paid, majority of them. And it's not just about the financial benefit. You get such great self-fulfillment and accomplishment from being employed in one of these roles and being successful in them. So there's great advancement for, senior and leadership roles. There's great mentoring programs available. You have flexible work arrangements. A lot of the organisations offer flexible working arrangements. So, mums can actually, think about these non-traditional roles. But in saying that, as long as you have a very supportive family and friend and professional network behind you, especially if you have young children that are still going to school or high school age children, you need that support network behind you, because without that, it would be a very tough job to have. But if you've got that support network behind you and in place, there's no stopping you. There's no reason why you can't have one of these jobs.
Joe, as a woman in a non-traditional role, how has that experience been for you? Are there moments where it's really tough in a male-dominated industry, or do you see things changing for the better all the time?
Most definitely. And, you know, I've always worked predominantly in a male workforce.
Yeah.
However, it certainly does have its drawbacks. Male-dominated environments can be scary, and the transition into some male-dominated industries is no easy task.
But yeah.
A lot of the, you know, today, more so in today, we have to be inclusive and diverse in our workforce, and a lot of the organisations are aiming to have an equal workforce. So it's a lot more accepted nowadays, and it has to be. It's, you know, equal opportunity and diversity creates more innovative thinking and creative problem solving.
Yeah.
Lots more different perspectives is required to have empowered and an empathetic workforce.
And that's got to be a good thing, hasn't it?
It does. And as we said, you know, we need to have diversity, because diversity and inclusion is the spice of life.
Yes. So
having all those different perspectives and you know, different backgrounds, ethnicity, religion, all of those things, we require that. It's a definite mix that we need, the different perspectives in having
It's important for workplace, isn't it? And for workplace enjoyment
to... Most definitely, yes.
Broaden people's horizons and have different perspectives brings different things to a workplace.
That's right.
So, Jo, exactly right. Are there many other female train drivers that you get to work with on a regular basis?
So I'm very fortunate at my workplace that we have pretty much an equal workforce with...
Yeah.
Gender with male and female workers and train drivers, and we also have senior or females in senior roles, as in superintendent and the general manager. So I'm very fortunate in that way that we have very supportive work place that does promote female leadership and females in their workforce.
Fantastic. That's really good to hear. pardon me. I've got a... That's from talking too much this week. Jo, one of your favourite phrases to use is getting your glow on. And you've just told us that glow is in reference to that high-vis part of your wardrobe. But for you, getting your glow on means a whole range of other things. Do you want to tell us about that?
That's right, Tony. It all begins with your attitude. And I really believe that it's about turning up as the brightest, happiest, kick-ass version of yourself. And that's whatever that looks like to you. It's all about self-confidence and having the self-belief in your capabilities. So that's what glows from inside of you, your self-confidence and your self-belief. And everyone has it. Everyone, we're all wildly different. We're all successful in our own ways. We're all individuals, but we each have something of our own to share. And that needs to shine through.
Yeah.
And you always have to have your self-belief in your capability.
Yeah. And so your glow is, in effect, unique to you, isn't it? And speaking of the high-vis shirts, is there just orange and that greeny lime colour, or are there other high-vis colours now?
No, so it depends on the industry that you work in. You've got the lime, green, yellow. You have the orange. You have orange and blue. You have the pink and blue.
There's a
bit of variety getting out there nowadays, but as long as it has that reflective tape on it, and that's for your safety in working in those sectors. But no, it is. It's I refer to myself as looking like a bit of a licorice all sort, actually, because I have the orange safety shirt. I have pink work boots. The denim jeans and a hard hat, white hard hat. So if you look at a licorice all sort, you'll be thinking of me next time.
You were telling me the other day that you can get work boots in all sorts of colours, flavours and patterns, and the same with your hard hat.
Yeah,
Are you
the boots are
restricted?
unreal now. We have
Yeah.
some fabulous female-founded workwear companies manufacturing some great workwear gear for women, and particularly in the boots, we've got a particular brand here in Australia called SheWear Australia that manufactures boots specifically designed for women's feet, and they come in a fantastic range of colours. So if you're interested in having a great looking pair of work boots, get online and have a look at SheWear Australia. As well as, we've got lots of different, you got your PPE, your personal protective equipment.
Yeah.
It comes out in a range of colours now. So there's varied ranges and colours and
so
options
you can
that are
still
available
be...
and that you are allowed to wear.
Oh, okay. Goodo. I was just going to say, you're allowed to wear and be your individual self as long as they are toe capping on your shoes and hard hat on your head and ear coverings and high vis. Yeah.
So, and depending on where you work, which workplace you have, they may have specific safety or PPE rules. And in regards to hard hats, well, I don't think anymore nowadays. It used to be a bit of a trend to have a printed hard hat, but nowadays it's more so just a plain coloured hard hat without any stickers or artwork on it. You can still get them custom printed with artwork if you wish, but it's more so of a site requirement that they are just plain nowadays, and that's mainly to see for sight and for visualization.
A question that I had that popped into my mind before, when you work those long 12-hour shifts, how do you get your breaks and how are they worked out and split up?
So my particular workplace, we work the 12-hour shifts.
Yeah.
And we're deemed to have 12 hours off in between. So once you finish a shift, you go home or you're out at camp, off-site, you get your 12 hours rest. So you need to look after your fatigue management, and that's a must. You must get your rest and keep up some healthy exercise, have a good diet, because that all contributes to your fatigue management and being fit for duty. That's the number one. You must be fit for duty.
Yeah. What about breaks during your shift?
So when we're on shift and we're driving, we ideally, because you need to keep your situational vigilance and personal continual vigilance, looking out on track, looking for any obstructions or any adverse issues that may occur, but particularly looking at the signals. So if we come up to a red signal and we know we're going to be there for a little while, that's our opportune time to have a break for lunch or for dinner, whichever it may be. So only really when you're at a stop stationary that we're participating in having our breaks.
Yeah. So it's pretty flexible, and it kind of works out between the two of you when to do those breaks and how to do them. So that flexibility is there during the day as well.
That's right. So when you're working in a two-person crew, you discuss that, and you look after each other. And particularly if you're noticing that your co-worker's feeling or looking a little bit fatigued, you'll ask the question and say, "Hey, can I help you out? Do you want me to take over from the driving? Or do you want to have your rest or a break and have your lunch or your breakfast or your dinner? And I'll drive while you do that, unless, if we've got green light running, say. So, you work that out between your crew members, and that's a big part of, getting along. Yeah. You spend 12 hours together, and it's not a confined space, so to speak, but it is a small space. So, yes.
And you've got no regrets whatsoever about becoming a train driver in the mining industry, have you?
No way in the world. I absolutely, as I said, I love my job.
Yeah.
And I love it with a passion, and I very much encourage other women to seek out these roles, because there is a lot of fulfillment and satisfaction that you have in yourself knowing that you can do these jobs.
Yeah.
So, yes, I love my job, and I wouldn't want to be doing anything else at the moment.
Yeah.
Apart from being here.
Yeah. Of course. And so we're talking predominantly about the mining industry in Australia, but there will be many similarities to mining anywhere around the world and in the US, Jo?
That's right. And it's not just the mining industry. Like, you know, I'm advocating for construction, for the STEM industry.
Yeah.
For any
science,
resources.
Technology.
Yeah, all of those, because women are underrepresented in those sectors, and there is a great amount of opportunity out there for women to explore and to grasp those opportunities. So, and they are, it's those sectors are covered all around the globe, and they are, those opportunities are available. So wherever you may live or be located in the world, seek out those industry
opportunities
and find what's available.
And if you're a young woman, give them a go. If you've never thought of these roles before, start to give them a thought, because I know how much Jo loves her job, and every time she talks about it, you can see that it's with total enjoyment that she likes, does her job. And so that's something to consider if you are feeling stuck and demotivated and wondering what life holds, then, and you see an ad for a trainee train driver, why not give it a go? But get in touch with Jo first, because she's got all the hot tips on how to make sure you get that job. Hey, Jo.
That's right.
And Jo has an amazing website called kickasswomen.com.au. And she, on that site, she's going to have lots of tips and tricks and links to these shows as well and what's coming up. So, Jo, let's now, before we run out of time, talk about Kick-Ass Radio and what your dream is for the future of Kick-Ass Radio.
So I can attribute most of my mindset and personal development shift to these live radio shows and podcasts. And like once I started filling my ears and my mind with motivational stories from other women living the results I wanted for myself, I couldn't stop. So that's what I realized. Nothing works if you don't. Everything changed when I started putting the advice into action. And I know it's hard to get yourself motivated from time to time. Chances are your weekend and or days off plans involve being horizontal on the couch. But even so, that doesn't mean old reruns of Friends or The Office are your only option when it comes to entertainment. Some of the best radio shows and podcasts out there are run for women, by women, and they are totally binge-worthy. So one of the best ways to experience the many exciting stories women have to offer is by listening to a podcast or live streaming radio show. And there's an abundance of women out there working to share their gifts and stories. And I believe that I have lots to share in my regard. So words of encouragement and inspiration are being circulated and used by other women. And their acts have become motivation, their deeds have become an inspiration, and their rhetoric speeches have become words of encouragement for so many. So in my words, true inspirers do not create a static group of followers. Rather, they create an environment in which everyone gains the confidence and can develop their own potential. So I'm assuming that since we're all here today, we're ready to start making changes to your life. And luckily, we live in a world with internet and access to more resources that we even know what to do with. So why you need to start listening to Kick-Ass Radio show and podcast, not just my motivational one, but they're free. You can listen on a phone or a computer. The production value for most podcasts these days are incredible quality. They're downloadable when you're offline and available on literally any subject. And it's another opportunity to learn. And I could go on and on about how amazing Kick-Ass Radio show is going to be, but I'll spare you at the moment. But I suggest grab your phone or iPad and change out your headphones or earplugs. Create a new playlist and fire up one of my episodes in the coming months and kickstart your journey of endless and unlimited opportunities. And I always say, keep in touch. POSCOMS, as is in
I love
Leo.
POSCOMS. And you would say, you, I had to ask Jody what POSCOMS was because I hadn't got to that point in her book when I read it. And when I worked out what POSCOMS was, it makes me smile every time I say it, and I often think of it. So, Jo, what's POSCOMS?
So POSCOMS is positive communication. So it's a safety regulation that you must adhere to when you're working out on site or out on track in my regards. You must maintain positive communication with your work, your fellow work member or colleague that you're working with your work group. So that's what it is. Keep in touch. And if you can't raise your co-worker, you must stop doing your task that you're doing. And until you can maintain positive communication, you do not proceed. So if we want to proceed in life, we need to maintain POSCOMS.
I love it. That whole concept of being positive in the way that you communicate with the world is, I think it's fantastic. And I have to say again that when I think of POSCOMS, I think of Jo, which is a good thing.
So Jo, and I'd love to keep in touch with everyone. So if anyone has anything they'd like me to specifically talk, but next week we'll talk about the industry more so and what's available out there. And we'll touch on those topics as we go along each week. And in regards to how you can apply, update your resume. I'll have resume writers, I'll have guest speakers, industry experts, giving us all some inside knowledge on how to get your kick-ass attitude and get a kickstart out in these roles.
Yeah, and that's what you're all about and incredibly passionate about, the role of women in non-traditional roles and the positive impact that a non-traditional role can have on a woman and a woman's life. So look what it's done for you, Jo. Did you think all those years ago when you first started driving trains that you would eventually publish a book and have your own radio show?
No way in the world. No way in the world. But I wouldn't give any of it up now. I just absolutely am thriving and loving what I do. And it's when you find your purpose, you need to share it, and that's what I say. Yes. Paying it forward pays back, and success is greater shared.
Yes, and there's a flow-on effect by people showing up positively happy in life and in their work life. And having said that, Jo has not had it easy. So this is not someone who's had everything easy in her life. She has had some really tough struggles and things to live through. And yet here she is doing a non-traditional job as a beautiful woman and thriving in life. And I know that as a part and parcel of what Jo has found her passion to be, she is now seen as an industry expert, and she gets to speak at wonderful traditionally men-centered conferences and summits and expos about women in non-traditional roles. And she does it so amazingly well. So imagine what you could accomplish in your life if you just let go of some of those traditional thoughts and ideas. Hey, Jo.
That's right. When women realize their potential and are able to access their inner strength, knowledge and power, miracles are known to happen. And I know opportunities come knocking.
Definitely. Every time I talk to Jo, she's doing something really exciting in that non-traditional sphere. And just in this short time that we've been prepping for the new show, she's had conferences and meetups and been asked to speak at different events, all within the mining, engineering, non-traditional place that you would think that a woman would be. So again, just encouraging women to think outside that square and perhaps think about what non-traditional roles or work or involvement in a non-traditional industry might do for you. And again, Jo and Kick-Ass Radio and her wonderful website, Kick-Ass Women, is going to be a movement, I think. It's going to be a powerful movement for encouraging women to look outside the square of what they think is normal. And Jo, we've got under a minute left, so I'm going to hand the microphone over to you to finish off as we almost head to the break.
All right. So as we were saying, my mission is to empower the women wanting to enter into these industries. And it's through outreach programs, continuing education, advocacy, mentoring, networking, and ongoing support to promote employment, retention, encouragement, and unity between both new and seasoned female workers in Hi-Viz. I say go on, get your glow on, and become a glow-getter. And tune
Yay!
In for next week and the more exciting topics.
Excellent. Well done, Jo. And that's it for us this week. And Jo will be back with Kick-Ass Radio, same time, live streaming next week. Over to you, TJ, and bye for now, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kick-Ass Radio, where we kick goals and deliver empowering conversations for women. Want to hear more from Kick-Ass Women and Jo Sainsbury? Visit the Kick-Ass Women website or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. See you on the next episode of Kick-Ass Radio.